Hey, welcome to the program. How are you doing today? Good, good to hear it. Okay. Look, you know, rather than me doing a show for you, as I do every weekday, why don't you do a show for me? Okay? I'll just sit here, and you talk to me incessantly, and entertain me, and make me laugh, and stimulate me, all that kind of stuff. Okay, you do that to me. All right, ready, go. What? What, you can't do it? What, you can't do that? Ron, stop yelling at me, first of all. And secondly, I must admit, Ron, what you do is not as easy as I thought. Yeah, go on, you do the show for me. Go on, I'll wait. Go on, talk. Go on, say something witty.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Not so easy, huh? Not so easy.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show.
Really?
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Okay, I think I proved my point.
Whatever. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Hey, I saw a woman yesterday wearing a bun on her head. I think it was from a bakery or something. There's like a knob on the top of her head or something like that. If you know me a little bit, I can't stand women that put their hair in buns. I don't understand where that came from or who made up that concept. I hate buns of all types. Why do you wear your hair in a bun? Because it's easier. Come on. What are you wearing? What are you doing?
What are you wearing today?
Take your hair down.
What are you wearing?
Seriously. And when I say to these bun ladies, I call them the bun ladies, first of all, it's like Halloween and you're dressing up like a high school cafeteria person. You know, do you want the beans? Do you want some meatloaf? You know, these women, you know, they don't all wair buns, but most of them do. Buns, hair nets, and they also have to have some sizable wart on their cheek. I don't know, just the perfect person I'd want serving me food. I find the bun thing really, and if you ask a lady who's wearing a bun, like, why do you do that? She says, oh, it's just easy to do. I just put it on the top of my head. I wrap it around, and it's kind of easy. I say, okay, yeah. I guess you're going for the easy as opposed to the palatable. Because, seriously, look in a mirror. That the bun look is not good. As I said on yesterday's show, when brides get married, which is what brides do usually, they make sure that all the bridesmaids have their hair in buns because she knows how ugly that really is. No one's going to look good at her wedding except for her, the bride. Everybody else, let's pile the hair on top of your head. Let's create a knob at the top of your head so that people can just grab you by the knob and lead you around. Let's give you a handle. I'm not into the buns, man. I'm not. I hated the movie Star Wars. Guess why? Because Princess Leia, whatever the hell her name was, she had two buns on her head. She had a bun on each side. She was double bunned. And I couldn't look at the screen. I could not look at the screen at this woman. She's just so butt ugly. And this was, of course, Carrie Fisher, who is otherwise a somewhat attractive woman, was. She's no longer with us. But that didn't stop me from disliking the buns. I'm sorry. If you're going to have a bun anywhere in my vicinity, you better butter it and put it on a plate. Don't put it on your head. That's the last place I would expect a bun to be. Then, of course, we refer to the rear end as a pair of buns. That's also quite attractive. So either you have a bun on your head or a bun on your ass. Well, these are really, really fun places for buns. You know what buns are? They're hair piles. That's what they are. They're hair piles. I was never attracted to hair piles. Ponytail's okay. Ponytail, your hair is still long, but you're putting it in behind you. But there's still long hair back there. A bun, let's make believe we're going bald. I mean, there is nothing. Women, stop with the bun. Stop with the bun. And if a man wore a bun, I'd say the same thing double, but they don't. But if they did, it's not a sexist thing. Some people look better bald. That's fine. The bun, that doesn't work for me. That's not, I don't know what statement that makes to just make a pile of hair. You know, I don't know. I think the statement is I'm freaking lazy and it's a little warm outside. Well, isn't that horrible? It's a little warm outside. So I'm going to put my hair in a bun so it doesn't get in my way. Oh, please. Please. Pile my hair on high. Anyway, thanks for joining me. So that's what I said to this lady. I said, what are you kidding me?
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? Today?
Are you serious?
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? Today?
Unbelievable. Anyway, there you have that. Hey, I have a great guest on the show coming up in just a little bit. Fascinating author. She's written a book about Dolly Parton. And you might say, Ron, something wrong with you today? Why would I care? The more you find out about Dolly Parton, the more you are amazed at what this woman has done in her life. She came from nothing and from poverty and became just an incredible success, but not just a singer with large boobs. That's what everybody thinks. She opens up an amusement park with her name on it, and it's incredibly successful. She's written like thousands of songs, not just for herself, but for other artists as well. Some of them like staple songs that everybody knows. She's a business entrepreneur. She's directed. She's been in movies. She's just like, and she just doesn't stop. She's her own behind the scenes person. And the more you find out about her, the more you go, man, Dolly, I did not know all this stuff about you. So it's a fascinating book. We're going to speak to the author in just a short bit here on the program. And all I can say to that is you're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you, Ron, for bringing me these inspiring, wonderful interviews and this entertaining. You're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah, please stop it. Please stop. That's enough. You're welcome. You know that phrase, what would Jesus do? I don't quite understand it. I don't know where that came from. I think when you make decisions in life, that Jesus would have the right answers to every dilemma that there was. But I think you can carry that too far. I mean, what if you're in a, you know, you're sitting in a bar and you had, you know, quite a few drinks, but you know, you don't want to go home yet, and you're sitting there, and a bartender comes over to you and says, "Would you like another drink before we close?" And you don't know if you should have another drink or not. If you, have you had too many? Would one more drink really hurt and it's getting late? I mean, what the hell? And then you say to yourself, what would Jesus do? Apparently, Jesus would have the answer for this as well. I believe the response would be, and I'm not being disrespectful, but I believe the response would be, well, life is short, have another drink. It was short, you know. It ended out to be. Jesus would say, have another drink. I assume, I don't know. I assume he would. I'm not sure. I can't put my mind where his was at any given moment. So I don't use that as a barometer of making decisions. It's an odd thing. And I understand the concept. The concept is to keep you straight and narrow and pious. I get that. I get that. It's just a weird question because some people take it literally for everything. When they have a decision to make, they say to themselves, well, what would Jesus do? And I don't think you can put yourself in his shoes necessarily. Jesus was in a different place in time. I'm not sure what Jesus would do. Not every scenario was posed to him in that sense. It's also quite a burden. It's like a Dear Abby column. I mean, like, what would you do, Dear Abby? My boyfriend broke up with me. And of course, I'm doing the deep voice. That's the woman's voice. My boyfriend broke up with me, and he says I should get beyond it. But should I? Should I grieve? Dear Abby, what should I do?
I don't know. What would Jesus do?
I don't know if Jesus would have been in a situation like that, to be honest with you. If I had the talent of turning water into wine, I don't know if I'd bother answering letters of advice. I've said this before, and again, it's not out of disrespect. I'm just trying to figure things out. Jesus apparently was a carpenter, and yet you never see any of his furniture around. You know, you figure that, wow, I've got a chest of drawers in my bedroom. Whoa, that's nice. Where'd it come from? Furniture store? No, Jesus built this for me. And whoa, you've got an original Jesus in your bedroom? Yes, I do. That's got to be worth money. Not as much as this bottle of wine. Whew. Can't put a price on that one either. I'm telling you, man, you know, you just got to understand things have value. Things have value. All right, I'll be right back.
Listening to the Ron Van Dam Show is like realizing that you put your underwear on backwards this morning. It's wrong, but it doesn't feel bad, and it's not like anyone's ever gonna find out, so just go with it. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Wow, that's impressive. I like that. That's pretty cool, huh? Hey, Dolly Parton, man. Wow, what a woman. What a woman. She's incredible, as I started to explain at the top of the show. She's just done about everything there is to do in the business. Phenomenal.
And I stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the street, the traffic starts jumping with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living. Barely getting by, it's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind.
Hi, Lauren.
Hi there.
How are you?
How are you?
I'm great.
I'm good.
This is author Lauren Marino, and we're talking about a very interesting subject matter. This is a book called, it's about Dolly Parton, I understand.
Yes, it is. It's called What Would Dolly Do?
Okay.
How to Be a Diamond in a Rhinestone World, and mm-hmm. it's looking at what we can learn from the life and example of Dolly Parton.
Now, I'm familiar with the fact that she's a country singer, and she's been an entrepreneur, and very big in the entertainment field, but apparently she's been very inspirational in other ways as well.
Yes, she's she grew up in Appalachia, in the foothills of the Smoky Mountains.
Uh-huh.
And she was the fourth of 12 children. Her father was a sharecropper and never learned to read or write.
Mm-hmm.
And she is a self-taught musician and has been writing songs since she was about 5 years old. And from that, she got herself out of the Smoky Mountains and was earning enough money by the time she was 13 years old to be supporting her entire family.
Wow.
Now at 72 years old, she has a $650 million business empire that includes not only her catalog of songs mm-hmm. and her performances, but she's a television producer. She owns lots of real estate. She owns other businesses. Obviously, she owns Dollywood. And has really single-handedly lifted up the economy of her hometown and much of the region that she grew up in. But she's also a huge philanthropist. Mm. So she's taken all of these things that she's done, and she really continues to give back, not just to her own community, but to communities all over the world. So she's really led an inspiring life, and at 72, she's still going strong and trying new things for the first time, like writing a children's album and producing more television shows. So she has this incredible positive energy that she just keeps her going, and really I just find her incredibly inspiring. Through her accomplishments, but also just through her spirit.
So she's like the country Oprah, only Oprah doesn't have an amusement park, so, right?
Soon, yes, maybe someday we can go to Oprah Land, or Oprah World.
Oprah World.
And we'll all have self-help seminars instead of, the Tennessee tornado.
Yeah. So why did you choose her as a subject for your book?
Well, it may sound a little bit strange,
yes.
but I grew up in Cincinnati,
yeah.
and we spent a lot of time traveling through Kentucky and Tennessee. Mm-hmm. So I listened to a lot of country music, and I was always a fan of hers.
Uh-huh.
And when I was probably about 11 or 12 years old, I heard that she was playing at the Ohio State Fair, and
yes.
My parents don't even remember me doing this, but I jumped in the car with our neighbors who were heading up there,
mm-hmm.
and really ran, once I got to the fairgrounds, to the front of the stage and sat there all day waiting to see her. And when I saw her, it was the way that she moved the audience and her banter, the energy of all the people there. It did something to me. It stuck with me.
Uh-huh.
And cut to about 40 years later, 30 years later, I was going through a long and difficult divorce,
mm-hmm.
and I was raising two little kids, and I lost my job all around the same time, and I was a little bit beaten down.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to see Kristen Chenoweth's one-woman show at the Nederlander Theater on Broadway, and she did a whole monologue about how she wanted to be Dolly Parton growing up, and then she burst into Dolly Parton's song, Little Sparrow, and I burst into tears, and I was so moved by it, and I had to ask myself why. And it just seemed then after that, over the next several months, Dolly Parton seemed to keep showing up. Now, maybe she was on tour, but she was everywhere I looked. And I just started studying her and reading her. I went and found her old 1980s autobiography, and I realized what an incredible person she was. She was so much more than just the performer and singer that I had known. And she really was a big dreamer, and a hard worker, and she reminded me of my younger self. She reminded me of that spunky 12-year-old girl who would rush the stage to go see her idol, and she kind of brought me back to who I was and reminded me of what I was made of. And I guess you could say I wrote the book for myself, to inspire myself. And, as I kind of kept going, it came clear that the lessons that Dolly had to impart weren't just for me, that anyone could really use them and try to emulate her example.
Yeah. Yeah, she's quite an amazing woman, now that you bring it up. I mean, everybody knows who she is internationally. May I say, to lighten things up a second...
Yeah, absolutely.
She's very well known for a particular part of the anatomy.
Yes, she is.
As much as a feminist as she is, and was a leader in that movement way, way back before people even talked about that, yet she has this... is that fake news?
I wouldn't call that fake news necessarily. I mean, Dolly would never call herself a feminist.
Yeah.
She tries to stay out of all of that.
Okay.
But she carefully cultivated that image, her over the top image.
Yes.
It's very, you know, she always
over the top,
without
yeah.
it's yeah. over the top for sure. And you know, when she was on Johnny Carson back in, I think it was 78, he said he would pay his whole, you know, he would pay his whole salary to peek under her shirt.
Yes.
And she really, at the time, she blushed, she stammered.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't really know how to react to it, and the audience loved it. And I think Dolly, as an entertainer, as a savvy person, she can't get around her appearance.
Right.
She can't get around her big bosom.
Mm-hmm.
So she decided to make it part of the act.
Yeah.
And she has a really good sense of humor about it now. And she will say, I know all of the Dolly Parton jokes. I made up most of them myself.
Yeah.
So...
interesting stuff.
But that is how a lot of people know her.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess in her mind, if that's what they, as long as they know her, she doesn't care what they know her for. Behind the scenes, she's doing all of this other work.
Did you ever get to meet her?
I have not had a chance to meet her.
Because
I did send her a copy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
I sent her a copy of my book.
Yeah.
And I've gone with a note, and I've I took my kids to Dollywood, and we spent a lot of time in Pigeon Forge and Sevierville and Gatlinburg and talking to a lot of the locals, and it was really probably the best vacation we ever had, although I was technically working. The people there just love her, and I hope, fingers crossed, that
I will be able to meet her. No question about it. You know what I'm wondering is the real Dolly, when she's at home behind closed doors, she probably doesn't look anything that we're used to seeing, and she's probably very savvy and probably wears glasses and is just very, like, intellectual. In other words, is the persona an act or a over-the-top performance, or... I'm thinking, like, behind closed doors, she's really just like a businesswoman. She's just a very normal person.
I don't know if I'd call her a normal person, but she's, you know, she's pretty extraordinary.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And I think that her, I don't know that I would call it an act exactly. I think it's, when she was starting out, it was really her version of glamour and what a star was supposed to look like. And as she became more and more successful, I think she just cultivated that. You know, if you look even, I mean, her outfits have always been pretty out there, from the bell-bottom floral jumpsuits of the 70s to all of the rhinestones and crystals and padded shoulders and big hair of the 80s. You know, now she really, when she makes public appearances, she's in costume.
I see.
She has
a costume designer. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
So I think, she wears wigs.
Yeah.
She knows how to do her own makeup, and she always says that if someone, like a lot of times the makeup artist will do her up, and then she will go and redo it and add more.
Yeah. Interesting.
Which is saying something. But yeah, so yeah. I think it's, you know, it's like you look at Madonna, or you look at Kiss, or you look at, you know, Pitbull. All of these people have their carefully cultivated images, or they're changing, you know, like Madonna, they're constantly changing their appearance to stay relevant and appeal to fans. She found something that works and she sticks with
it. Sure.
But yeah, behind the scenes, she reads a lot. I know she gets up at 4 a.m. She works harder than anyone. Her schedule is crazy. I don't think the woman sleeps.
Yeah, but she probably loves it. You know, and I understand she's written between 3,000 and 6,000 songs somewhere in there. My God.
Yes. Wow. Yes. I think a lot of people also don't realize what an incredible songwriter she is.
Very, very popular songs sung by other artists as well, and for all forms of media. The book kind of shows you where she really is, besides what you may know about her. We're running a little short of time, but it's a fascinating book. I could talk to you probably forever, but I think your people would say, Ron, that's enough. So
I'm passionate about it, and there's a lot more to her, and I know. You know, I wrote the book for the Dolly fans, but even beyond Dolly fans, it's a book that will inspire people who may not know or think they know her, but really don't.
Yeah. And it's on sale now. It's What Would Dolly Do? How to Be a Diamond in a Rhinestone World. I'm sure you can find it just about everywhere. What Would Dolly Do? And, hey, pleasure speaking to you. It's fascinating.
Nice to speak with you.
Fascinating.
Thank you so much, Ron.
Thank you, Lauren. You take care. Bye-bye.
Too. Bye-bye.
What a legacy, man. What a legacy. What an incredible legacy. What an incredibly large pair of breasts there. Again, her choice, not mine. That's what we associate people with, that, you know? That's what they do. Thank you so much for being a part of my life. Sounded corny, didn't it? Yeah, I know. Went way too far on that one. Thank you so much for listening is what I meant to say. And it's reciprocal, whatever I said. I don't even understand it myself. I'll be back again when the next weekday comes up, which could be very, very soon. In which case, we'll spend some more time together. We'll hold hands and we'll frolic in the field. Won't that be fun? You know, with the sun shining and a little bit of a breeze in the background, you know, so the wind goes through my hair and hardly moves your bun, you know, and there are wildflowers and stuff, and it's sunny outside, and we fall down in the flowers and we tumble around and eat food, you know, we have a picnic and we're eating food, and then we get up and we go back to the car and say, okay, that was enough. That's enough of that. That was really odd and awkward. Let's not do that again. So until that happens, I wish you peace.